You are listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Today on Recovery Buddies with David, it's time for the final episode of Season 1. I can't believe it. I want to say that I'm very grateful to all of you for listening and subscribing. Your support and kindness means the world. Now it's time to conclude my story trilogy by offering a comprehensive telling of how I came to OA and what it's been like during my first 15 months of abstinence. So come now with me, dear listener, as I tell you the tale of my progress at losing weight, the lessons I've learned about myself, and the hope that I have found. I feel I should start with the traditional opening of any qualifying speech at a meeting. Hi everyone, my name is David and I am an emotional compulsive overeater. I started attending OA meetings on Zoom in August of 2020, and my abstinent date is September 21st, 2020. I am maintaining about 15 months worth of abstinence, though my current weight loss journey began back in February of 2019. I have been obese my entire adult life and most of my childhood. In fact, I'm not just obese, I'm labeled morbidly obese because my weight and my addictive compulsive relationship with food is as great a threat to my life as being a heavy smoker would be, or a drug addict, or an alcoholic. Since I started my weight loss journey, I have lost 302 pounds as of the time of this recording. But I'm still morbidly obese. I'm living in serenity and recovery, but when I'm out in the world, I still worry about finding a chair that I can fit in that will support my weight. I wouldn't fit in a single seat on an airplane, but I do now fit in the reclining chair my parents bought for me 7 years ago. So my journey, well, really the journey of recovery, is a work in progress. I am a work in progress. My living in serenity and recovery means that I'm abstaining from compulsive eating behaviors and I don't have the demons crawling under my skin urging me to devour tons of food for the false promise that it will solve my problems and make me feel better. Now, some of you might be wondering, how big does someone have to be that they can lose 302 pounds and still be morbidly obese? And yes, for the record, again, I said I have lost 302 pounds. I usually end up repeating that a few times when people ask me because they get this shocked look on their face. Also, for the record, the most I ever weighed in my life was 788 pounds. And yes, I said 788 pounds. Again, I felt I should repeat myself because, again, after I say that, people get this stunned look on their face. And when the stunned expression wears off, they ask me if that's really what I said. Let me tell you what it was like to be that big, that huge, that ginormous. And I say those words not to be cruel or insult anyone. My intention is to use accurate language that conveys how I felt at my maximum weight, and for the record, no, I am not offended by using those words to describe myself, and I hope that my honesty and vulnerability in sharing with you will prove useful as you continue your own recovery journey. So, one example of what it was like when I was at my maximum weight is the tremendous effort it took for me to climb into my truck. Well, it would be more accurate to say I pulled and pushed myself into my truck, and once I got in, my head pressed against the ceiling, and the steering wheel jabbed so tightly against my stomach that I had to crank the wheel with both hands to turn it. Now, at the time of this recording, there's about a 7-inch gap between my stomach and the steering wheel. At my maximum weight, I barely fit into t-shirts that were size 10X. Now I'm wearing 5X shirts that are starting to get loose. Back in September, just before I finished writing all 22 scripts for the first season of this podcast, a friend in program asked me what my journey has felt like. I told her, It feels like I'm traveling among the stars and must have faith that each step won't send me tumbling back to Earth. I take things one day at a time and hope to reach all my goals and realize all my dreams. And then I paused for a dramatic effect, smiled, and added, but that's the writer in me speaking. With the help of OA, the fellowship of friends I have made, and my higher power, definitely, I hope to never, ever again be in the 700s or set a new high record. I only weigh myself on the first day of each month because throughout my life I tried many diets and even worked with a personal trainer for over a year, and each of those approaches required me to weigh in at least once a week. When I got positive results, there was a mild amount of praise, but when I got no results or negative results, then I'd be questioned and it felt like I was being criticized. It got to the point where I felt like a little kid being sent to the principal's office. Those weekly weigh-in appointments added a new degree of stress and worry to my life, which drove me to overeat. This is why I only weigh in once a month. It helps keep stress and worry down because I'm not fretting over what number is going to appear on the scale. So I weigh in on the first of the month only, and on December 1st, I weighed in at 486 pounds. When I began my journey, I set my goal weight to be 220 pounds because I read somewhere that that was the highest number that a man my height could weigh and not be considered obese or overweight. Well, turns out that I read it wrong. I have to get to 320 pounds to not be considered morbidly obese, and then I have to get to 200 pounds to not be considered overweight. So at this point, I figure I'll get to my original goal weight, 220 pounds, and then I'll just keep going until I get to 200. But back when I started in February 2019, I thought it was impossible that I could ever get close to that 220. In fact, it wasn't until I'd lost more than 90 pounds and dropped from the 700s into the 600s that I really felt like I could actually make progress on my journey. That's how powerless, hopeless, doomed I felt. Sometimes people ask me, how did you get to 788 pounds? And I answer, I got there by eating a ton of food, way more than I needed. I used the food as a drug because I was taught all my life, from as early as I can remember, that when you feel bad, eat something, you'll feel better. You must go all the way back to about kindergarten age to find a photo of me at a healthy weight. I ate to feel better. I ate to make sadness and loneliness and poor self-esteem feel numb. I went further and further down into that dark trap, as I call it. See what I did there? Nice reference back to the start of my trilogy, huh? Anyway, I went further and further down into that dark trap, and I lost so much and missed out on so many things. Things that I cannot change or get back. But I can embrace courage so that every day, in the present and moving forward, I spend the day being as productive as I can be. Working to be a better person, a healthier person, and advance towards life beyond our wildest dreams that we always hear about at the end of OA meetings. One of the earliest times I can remember being singled out because of my weight occurred when I was in junior high. One afternoon, a bunch of friends, kids I had grown up with, dared this good-looking girl to come over and flirt with me. I guess they thought it would be funny and good for a laugh, but the girl, she walks over and confesses the whole thing to me. She started crying and saying she was so sorry. I remember telling her it was okay, and as she walked away, I felt sorry for her because she wasn't strong enough to tell those other kids to go screw themselves. And I looked over at that group, and I knew every single one of those kids. And one of them was the son of my mother's best friend. I had known that guy my entire life. He and his brothers had been to my house in the summertime to swim in our pool. That was when I, at 12 years of age, realized I was not one of the cool kids and that things were changing. My long journey of isolation and rejection, of being singled out as different had begun. People were becoming resentful of me because of my size, and I would become very fearful and resentful of them. That was also the same year that we started having gym classes, and while I was changing clothes, guys would walk over and grab my chest because my chubby chest didn't look like theirs. It only got worse from there, because I kept going to the food to feel better. High school was not any different. I spent most of my time alone, ate alone, sat alone. It was difficult to fit into the desks that the school had in the classrooms. There were even three guys who stalked me and played cruel pranks on me. In fact, a year after high school, two of those guys continued to harass me. One afternoon, I was going for a walk around my neighborhood because, you know, even then I didn't want to be fat. I was trying to exercise and lose weight. Those guys drove by in their car, flipping me off, and then they drove to my home and waited for me to show up. I remember turning the corner and looking down the street, and I saw them there, in our driveway, waiting for me. I'm not sure what I was going to do, but thankfully my mom drove up about a minute later. She had this super proud look on her face. She was happy to see me out getting exercise, and I had to tell her that those guys were down at our house waiting for me. I got in our van and we drove away. In college, the girls my age wanted to drink and party and sleep with the bad boys, and on the occasion when a girl did show interest in me, it was because she wanted something from me. Wanted me to drive her somewhere. Wanted me to pay for something. Wanted to copy off of me because there was a test that day, which made me feel lonelier and isolated. So I kept going back to the food. Our society, it celebrates the success of weight loss, the accomplishment, but the journey, the effort to lose weight, society does not celebrate that. When you are as big as I have been, and I'm still big, it is only this month that I have passed the halfway point in the amount of weight I want to lose. Anyway, when someone is my size, every time I go out the door, there is an exceptionally good chance some random stranger is going to mess with me. That is the reality of my life. So is it any wonder that my emotions were always dominated by depression, self-hate, and despair? That said, please don't think that I'm a sad guy or that I'm filled with regrets, because that's not true. I am much happier today than I was at my maximum weight, and my time in the program has helped keep depression, loneliness, and despair at bay during the ongoing pandemic while I work towards becoming the best version of myself that I can be. But I'm still a work in progress. I begin every day with a prayer to the higher power of my choosing. I say, God, please, please sustain me. If you will sustain me, then I can do the work. There have been two phases to my current weight loss journey. The first was the time before the pandemic and before I joined OA. I was following a diet that my doctor put me on, and I was exercising like a maniac at the local mall. I'd spend 2 or 3 hours walking in the mall, exhausting myself to the point that I was too sore to move the rest of the night or the next day. It was like a war. I was waging war against my body. I had a very hostile, angry, frustrated approach to changing my body. But I did make progress. From February 2019 to right before the start of the pandemic in March of 2020, I lost about 150 pounds. Then the pandemic began, and at that point I weighed about 630 pounds. So my doctor calls and tells me, go inside, lock the door, and don't come out until this is over. If you catch this thing, you will die. He was blunt, but I appreciate that sort of direct bluntness when it comes to important topics. At first, I was okay, but as the lockdown stretched out and the news reports got worse and worse, I felt very stressed, and this triggered a relapse. I began binge eating again to comfort myself. Between March and July of 2020, I regained about 60 pounds, But I started trying to get back on the diet my doctor put me on, and I started exercising in my home by using exercise videos on YouTube. And then I heard about OA, and I came into my first Zoom meeting near the end of August. When I joined OA, I was around 690 pounds. 1 year of me waging war against my body resulted in about 150 pounds lost. My first year of abstinence, from September 21st, 2020, to September 21st, 2021, resulted in about 170 pounds lost. Before OA, I'd walked for 2 or 3 hours in the mall to the point that I couldn't move. During my first year in OA, I followed an exercise schedule where I'd walk for about 30 minutes on the weekdays and slack off on the weekends. OA has been more effective, more efficient, and a lot easier than what I was doing throughout 2019, right up until the start of the pandemic. I've seen a lot of changes happen to my body because of my progress with losing weight. My face is thinned, I see an Adam's apple, I can put my socks on without needing help. When I was in the 700s, it took a true Herculean effort to get dressed and go to work. One of my favorite changes is that when I stand still on carpet, my feet don't start to slide apart. Yeah, I weighed so much that when I stood still, my own body weight would push my feet out. Believe that. My life is much better, but I still have a long way to go. So, 302 pounds lighter, face is looking better, I can stand up easier, I can move around, I can sit up out of bed, I fit into the reclining chair in my front room for the first time ever, there's a lot of space opening up between the steering wheel in my truck and my gut. It's amazing progress, right? Yeah, higher power is good. I have the support of a great sponsor, people in the program that I message and do outreach with, and meetings in particular mean a lot to my ability to continue to do the work, to endure, to keep going. Meetings are where opportunities to work on resentments are presented to me by my higher power, because higher power sent me a new family of friends who understand the thoughts and feelings that roll around inside my head like a cyclone because of my compulsive eating behaviors. And that is perhaps the most encouraging thought that stands with me against the compulsive tendencies. Because every day I face down the same challenges. I have to go to the higher power of my choosing for comfort, support, acceptance, and guidance. I feel like I've gotten pretty good at the accept the things I cannot change part of the Serenity Prayer, and now I'm working hard on that courage part. Because yeah, I have established a routine of behavior and eating that doesn't lead me to have cravings. But this program isn't about a diet. It is about dealing with addiction. I have an addiction. I have addictive patterns of behavior. And if I'm not careful, or worse, get cocky because of my progress, then I'll slip right out of one addiction and into another. And I don't want to do that. So I have to look inside myself and see what my character defects are, as well as the resentments that I have. Because those character defects and resentments interfere with my connection to my higher power. Resentments are like static on the radio or a low Wi-Fi signal when you're trying to stream. So I ask myself, what was it that really drove me to the food, and how can I deal with those things in a healthier way? One that doesn't require binge eating, or getting drunk, or getting high, or spending lots of money on frivolous shopping, or any other addiction you can name. That's the next step in living in recovery, the step where we get to become better, where we get to like ourselves, enjoy being who we are, and dare I say, even love who we are becoming. Recovery is a journey of healing, growth, and becoming better versions of ourselves. And right now, for me personally, my progress has made the food a lot easier. I'm not wrestling with those demons anymore. When a tempting thought comes, it's like the calmest gust of wind, barely felt and gone in seconds. That's what higher power and working the program has done for me. And you can have this serenity and progress too. Am I cured? No. Do I feel better? Physically and emotionally? Absolutely. I haven't felt this good in 10 years. Do I still have bad days? Oh, yes. Oh, very, very yes. Especially when the fellowship falls away, when outreach messages and calls go unanswered, and the dark of night closes in. Then I feel very alone. And those chimes challenge me with an awful, havoc-riddled vengeance. But higher power sustains me because I keep working all of the OA tools of recovery. There are three levels to existence. The first level is the physical world. It's the way we look. It's where we interact with each other and socialize. It's also all the stuff the doctors talk to us about. Blood pressure, cholesterol, etc. Then the next level is inside our heads, the emotional and mental level. Your feelings, your thoughts. It's the existence inside your mind. And then we go even further, inside to the spiritual level, the deep center of our beings. And I mean no disrespect to anyone, but regardless of whether you are a religious person or not, there is an energy, an aura, a soul to you. The 12-step programs are effective because rather than fixate on the physical stuff the way that doctors and dietitians do, this program directs us to work on that spiritual level. Because by focusing on our individual spirituality, we create progress that radiates strength and recovery from the inside out. And that progress exists in a place that the disease cannot reach because addiction thrives on the physical and the mental levels, not the spiritual. That is why this program is not a diet. I've heard people in the program talk about an emptiness inside that we try to fill with whatever our addiction is. I'm not sure that description exactly applies to me, but I do understand and respect where those people are coming from and what they are trying to describe. Now, I've always been a believer. I've always had my faith to aid me and comfort me when I am in crisis. Faith and service are essential to recovery, but they are not enough alone. Maybe there is an emptiness inside some of you that needs to be filled by a higher power of your choosing, but speaking for myself, for my life and my journey, there are empty spaces of varying sizes in my life that cannot be filled by higher power. Let me say that again. There are some things that higher power cannot fill, but higher power is helping me figure things out so that I can fill in those missing pieces of my life in healthy ways that keep sound, sane thoughts in my head, in ways that make me feel good about who I am so that I won't compromise myself in exchange for a bad version of being liked by someone, loved by someone, wanted by someone, or accepted by someone. I'm a work in progress, a self-improvement project supervised by my higher power. I've come further in the 15 months than I did in the 18 months before. I pray every morning. I do affirmation mirror work when I'm brushing my teeth and shaving. I journal. I write two-way prayers. I go to meetings. I meditate. I walk for about an hour on the weekdays and slack off on the weekends. The primary thing I do is control the amount of sugar I take into my body, keeping it under 50 grams and usually around 36 grams. I am eating in a healthy way today, taking in fewer calories than at any other time in my life, and I do not feel the urge to binge or that I am starving myself. I do more each day on 1,700 calories than I ever did when I was stuffing tens of thousands of calories in my mouth. In my opinion, the most glorious thing about human beings is our versatility, our ability to adapt and develop any skill we choose. Basically, what one person can do, another can do. Other people found recovery through this program, and now I have found recovery. And so can you. Even if you're sitting there right now doubting yourself, I know that you can find a better way to live. Just because you are inexperienced at something doesn't mean you are incapable of it. Anyone can learn to do anything that another person can do. All it takes is time, willingness, and instruction. If you're struggling, feeling lost, hopeless, powerless, or scared, go to meetings, do outreach calls and text messages, write in a journal, pray or meditate, start working those 9 tools of this program because you do not have to suffer alone. And your fate is not written. You are not doomed or cursed. None of us are. There is a better way to live each day that will get you to a life of serenity and happiness. And when it's the middle of the night and there are no more meetings, or you're too busy with work or other responsibilities to get to a meeting, the goals that you have, the reasons why you want to recover and stop being an addict, will help you keep going until you can make it to a meeting or call someone in the fellowship to talk to or sit down and write out your thoughts and feelings in a journal. A friend in program once asked me to explain how I persevere. The answer is because of a combination of many things and many people. It's not one thing or one person, but multiple things and people who have contributed to my progress. Yes, I had to do the work. I was the one preparing the meals, doing the shopping, going to the meetings, and driving out to the park to take my walk. But through it all, the many long hours in sunshine or in shadow, I was not alone. Not really. There was the fellowship, there was my higher power, and there was my hope. All the progress I have made was built slowly, piece by piece. Only now, with so much weight loss, does it seem miraculous and magical. Yet I swear to you, dear listeners, that all I have done was possible because I did not have to face down my character defects and demons alone. All I have built for myself can be created by others in their own methods to suit their own needs. Maybe some of you listening right now feel stuck with your lives, your weight, or your careers. Speaking as a person who has a lot of experience with being stuck, I want to tell you that there is always a way to get unstuck. The secret I have found is not to push myself out of the stuck position, but to see what it is that has momentarily clogged my progress and then remove whatever that is. So please, do not sell yourself short and think, "Wow, he did all that, but I could never." There is nothing special about me beyond the simple things that make me, that make me David. And by that, I mean the things that make up my personality, like my humor, my love of nature and colors, as well as my caution and need to plan things out. I believe in myself and in the capabilities of all human beings, including you, dear listener. So to wrap this up, I'd like to share something I wrote in my journal on one of those nights when there were no more meetings and I needed to find a little more strength to keep going. I wrote this back in March of 2021. The road I travel is so long, and I've come so far, yet ever proceeding before me is that distant horizon calling to me. So many more miles to go, with only hope and higher power to fuel my tank. That's what drives me. My hope, my higher power, and knowing for certain, beyond what anyone else has to say, that I am worthy of feeling good. I am not written off. I am not done. I am not doomed. I can lose the weight. I can have healthy relationships with friends. I can set appropriate boundaries with people. I can do all those things because higher power will sustain me and I can keep doing the work. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. the season finale of Recovery Buddies with David. Wow. When people started encouraging me to start a podcast, I had no idea what to do, what to say, how to record it, let alone edit and upload. And now here I am, episode 21 of season 1. I really do want to thank each of you for listening. It means a lot being able to be of service by sharing my hope and recovery. I hope that you enjoyed what I had to say. Now, there is one more episode this week on Thursday. That will be the season finale for Daily Dose of Recovery. Then I'll be off for a few weeks to enjoy time with family and put the finishing touches on season 2 scripts. You can expect HP3R to return with our second season. Until then, remember, dear listener, you, me, and everyone in this fellowship is worthy of recovery. You can have a relationship with food that leads to a healthy body. You are worthy of that. All it takes is time, consistency, and willingness. I'll talk to you next time, buddy. You've been listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. If you'd like to send us an email, then write to hp3rpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to tune in on Thursdays for future episodes of Daily Dose of Recovery, and check back on Mondays for future episodes of Recovery Buddies with David, here on HP3R.